Welcome to Reasonably Shady, a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Welcome to another episode of Reasonably Shady. My name is Giselle Bryant.
What's up? What's up, everyone? I'm Robin Dixon. Thank you, thank you, thank you once again for joining us. We love you so much for loving us.
Yes, we do. We are so happy to be back once again. And just like usual, we have our Reasonably Shady moment of the week. And guys, it is a doozy for me. Okay. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a dietitian, I believe, that was, we were talking to. Her name was, what's her name, Annabelle?
Oh, Anna. Yeah. So Anna. She's a trainer.
Trainer.
She's more so a trainer. But yes, we were talking about nutrition with
yes.
her.
Yes. And she said that asparagus is great to eat. Okay. It helps you lose weight. It tastes good. Just put it in the oven like for like 15, 20 minutes and roast it up. And you're going to be like feeling like $1 million. And I was like, you know what? I was sick of kale because I've been a kale girl for like 10 years.
Okay.
Kale, I'm done with you. Broccoli, I'm done with you too, because broccoli, you give me gas.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So Carly, our director of operations, she said, but Giselle, you know, that asparagus makes your pee stink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So and I can't believe you didn't know that.
Well, I did know that, but to what degree, I did not know.
Yes.
So I went out of town with my kids last weekend, and there was a whole lot that went down with the with our room that I had booked a suite. I'm in Tallahassee, by the way. I had booked a suite, but this hotel, I don't know, guess threw that reservation in the trash can. So we ended up in like this little small room.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
But whatever. We're only there for less than 24 hours.
That should be your shady moment, but okay.
Yeah. Maybe another episode. That'll be my shady moment. So I went to go pee. And my kids were like, Ma, you have funked up the whole room. Were you farting? What did you do in there? Oh, my God. And I was like, oh, my God, my pee stinks. I mean, like stinks, like horribly stinks. So long story short, asparagus, you are shady.
You are shady. Okay.
You are shady.
So are you no longer eating it now?
So this is the deal, guys. I actually really love it. So I'm going to eat it, but not as much as before.
Okay. Or just eat it when you're like, when you know you're not going to be peeing around other people, right?
When does that happen?
Like when you're at home, like eat it for dinner. And okay. When you go to pee, you're using your own private bathroom.
That's true. That's true. Very true. So this would make any guy run away from me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So
oh, yeah, yeah.
If there's any dating going on, then asparagus I cannot eat. Asparagus, you're shady. I want everybody to be clear on that. But I don't want anyone to like not eat asparagus because it's really good for you.
I know. Exactly. So, you know, just if you're around a guy or whatever, just give them the disclaimer.
Oh, okay. My pee stinks.
Yes, because I'm being healthy.
Okay. I didn't fart. I didn't go number two.
Right.
It's just my pee.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All
it's
right.
Because of asparagus. Right?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
That's it. Now, do you have a shady moment?
I mean, I just have a frustrating moment.
Okay.
So, you know, we moved in a new house. The first thing my kids want is a basketball court. Not just my kids, but my husband wanted to. So it's like, we have to have a basketball court. And I was ready to like put this basketball court in.
Okay.
And something told me, this was literally yesterday, something, and we're scheduled, actually they're out there doing the court now. Something told me, why don't you talk to the builder to make sure, like, you know, there's no issues with putting this basketball court in?
Okay. Okay. Good idea.
Long story short, I mean, it's actually like, you know, a little silver lining. If I had gone with my original plan, yeah, I would have been in trouble with the county.
No.
I would have been like building the court in an area for like a utility easement, a 10-foot utility easement. So I had to reduce the size of our basketball court by 10 feet.
So is it a half court?
It was always a half court, but it was literally going to be like
a quarter court,
a whole half court that would allow them to like shoot three-pointers from every spot on the court, from the corners, from the top, the wings, whatever.
Gotcha.
Now we have to reduce it by 10 feet
okay.
so they can't get their corner three-point shotter.
So they just have a foul line? They're shooting from the foul line?
So they're shooting from like...
What kind of court is
she
this?
She don't know what she's talking about. It's still... And this thing... And I have to hear my son, Corey, well, this... Why can't we do this? And why? And just do it. And blah, blah. And I'm like, no.
Because
if so... And I'm like, Juan... I mean, not Juan. Corey. If someone from the county comes back here and sees that this court is on top of this easement
right.
that's supposed to be here, like, they can literally find me.
Yes.
And... tell us to dig it up.
Yes.
And he's like, well, so what? Just pay the fine. And I'm
what?
Like,
what? Boy, get a
little
job.
Little boy. Exactly.
He needs to get a job.
Little boy. So our dreams of having this amazing full half court basketball court
not happening.
Have been shattered.
Well, clearly, Robin, you're part of the wrong family. And we're going to talk to the right family today as it relates to basketball. Okay. We have a guest with us and her name is, well, I'll let you introduce her, Robin.
Okay. So our guest today is none other than the beautiful Sadell Curry Lee. A lot of you might know Sadell because she belongs to a very prestigious
yes.
basketball family.
Yep.
Okay. Her father is Del Curry. He played 16 years in the league. Her brother is the amazing Stephen Curry. Her other brother, who plays for the Golden State Warriors, her younger, well, I guess middle brother is Seth Curry, who plays for the 76ers.
Okay.
She is also married to Damian Lee, who plays for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, I thought I had basketball all around me.
No.
But so anyway, but we're talking to Sadell, not only because she's, you know, amazing and beautiful.
Yeah.
Because she's a beautiful content creator. She also has a podcast, but her focus is mental health. So I'm going to read her bio and introduce her. And the mental health, before I talk about Sadell, the mental health topic that we recently discussed got such a positive response.
Yes.
I mean, I saw emails where people said, I just made an appointment because of you all. So people are making appointments to talk to mental health professionals because of the episode that we did with Mirja. And, you know, people who said, thank you. I was in a really dark place. My cousin told me it was the best one yet. So,
yes, indeed.
You know, when your family's giving out compliments.
I know, right? Because they don't do that.
Those don't come very easily. So anyway, Sadell Curry Lee became known in the digital space for entrepreneurship, athleticism, and tastemaking in the beauty community. Her mission online has always been to surface the topic of mental health to the forefront of conversation. Having struggled with her own mental health for several years, Sadell aims to destigmatize the discussion around mental health and offer firsthand advice on how we can all discuss the subject better, as well as things we can do to improve our mental health. Because Life, that's the name of her podcast, mm-hmm. centers around an open and honest discussion amongst Sadell, a mental health professional, and listener input regarding topics ranging from confronting anxieties to being a supportive ally when someone close to you is struggling with their mental health. So Sadell also recently shared her journey with IVF, her struggles getting pregnant, and she is pregnant with child
about
to burst.
So we're going to, this podcast is going to be fast because she might burst in the middle
shoot.
Of it.
But, you know, without further ado, welcome to Reasonably Shady, Sadell.
Welcome. Thank welcome. You. We are
Thank
so happy
you.
To have you.
Thank
yes.
you. Y'all got me over here cracking up.
Oh, my God.
I just want to say that, Giselle, you already got the communication down and the relationship just offhand. Because if you're going to go into the relationship talking about, I had asparagus, I'm sorry. That's great communication.
Is it or is it team too much?
No, I'm never team too much.
Yes, okay. You're like setting the standard. Like, look, dude,
yes.
get real comfortable with me because I'm about to share everything.
Because right. my pee stinks.
Right?
Okay.
And if you're not comfortable with that, then you can go.
Yes, yes. I love it. Now, I have a quick first top of the episode question. So your podcast, Because Life. Mm-hmm. One, how long have you been doing it, and why the title? I love it.
Thank you. So we just started in May. Our first episode was May 19th, 2021. And when coming
around,
up with,
I'm sorry, that's around the same time we started.
Yes.
So we are podcast newbies.
Yes.
Yes. And when I was trying to figure out a name or a title for it, because I want mental health to be just like a normal thing, and I think because life just shows that shit happens, like stuff happens in life, and it's going to throw you curveballs. And so it should not be a thing where everyone should be isolated or just surprised by it, because life is hard. And with that brings mental health challenges. I feel like everyone has mental health challenges, whether on a high level or a low level, you're going to go through something in your life that's going to bring you anxiety or some sort of like tension that's hard to deal with. So that's kind of where because life comes from. Like, let's make it normal.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love that. And in the church world, I used to be a first lady. They would call that your test. And then it's your testimony.
Yes.
So everybody has a test at some point in time in their life. And then they got that a good old testimony.
Yes. Got my testimony. Where's yours?
I got so many testimonies, child. You don't even want to get me started.
So, Sadell, you have shared that like you recently had some mental health struggles. How was it to be able to share that? Because I think sometimes when you come from a family like yours, where everyone sees the glitz and the glamour and the success and the accomplishments, you know, sometimes you kind of feel like you don't want to share that type of information because people assume your life is perfect, or, you know, gosh, what could be wrong with you? Or, you know, why are you struggling? So how did you get to the point where you felt like you could share your mental health struggles, especially with, you know, the spotlight on your whole family?
Yeah. So to give you just a quick background on how my mental health challenges started, I was in a very abusive relationship from high school years to the first 2 years of college. And so that brought his own set of like PTSD. And then I also have 5 concussions from playing volleyball. So that I talk about that because a lot of people think that mental health challenges just come from life experiences, which they do, but it also can come from chemical imbalances, getting hit in the head 5 times, like so many other things than just what's happening in your environment and how much money do you have and how much do you have, like all of these kind of materialistic things that matter. But, you know, there are other things that play into the mental health space. And so when I decided to talk about it, it was really because there was a lack of people with a platform talking about it at that time.
Right, absolutely.
And I was going through it. Like I just was just really going through it. It was in a transitional point in my life, going from college into like the real world, career world, and I had to do it earlier than I thought because I had gotten my 5th concussion and my doctors were like, Sadell, you're going to be a vegetable if you keep playing. Like you need to.
Okay. So wait a minute. Is that normal in the volleyball world?
No.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I kept playing, because after my 3rd one, my doctors were like, what's the likelihood of you getting a 4th one? Because usually like in football, they'll cut you off at, well, they're supposed to cut you off at 3 concussions.
Okay.
So after I got my 3rd one, they were like, what's the likelihood of you getting a 4th one? And then my 4th one came, what's the likelihood of you getting a 5th one?
Okay. So and I'm confused. Right. So it's like the ball hitting you in the head?
Yeah. So I played D1 college volleyball. So I was playing against like some big, like strong girls. And if you don't get your hands up fast enough, the ball has no forgiveness. It's going to come right into your face. So four of the concussions were me getting hit in the head down the line. And then one of them, I went to dig a ball and my head hit the ground first before the rest of my body did.
Oh, wow.
I think that was just my reflexes. With every hit in the head, my reflexes were just getting worse and worse and worse.
Wow. So, that's crazy. I've never really heard of concussions in volleyball, but it makes sense. Like how you explain it definitely makes sense.
Yeah. So,
you know, so maybe we need to bring light to that topic.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it's becoming more of a topic now. I think my niece had a soccer game a couple weeks ago and she had gotten hit in the head with the ball and she got put on concussion protocol. And I was like, you know what? I'm not mad about that. Like she's 9.
Yes.
Yeah. How hard are they kicking the ball in soccer right now and not at the 9-year-old league? But they were taking it very seriously, which I'm so happy to see because I wish that I would have taken it seriously.
Yeah.
But
Because soccer is like the number one concussion. Like, you know, people think it's all football. But from what I've heard, it's actually the doctors see more concussions from soccer.
Why? Because you hit your head with the ball?
I guess.
You hit each other's head. I don't play soccer okay. for that.
Yeah, they don't have like
too
helmets.
Too much running
and
for me.
Padding.
Okay.
And,
okay. Yeah. Okay. I get it.
So yeah, I mean, going into that season of life, that transitional phase of life, I had a platform. People were following me because of my family, but I really wasn't doing anything with it. And so we live in a digital age. I was on Instagram all the time looking for people to relate to, and I couldn't find anyone with the platform who was really mm-hmm. talking about how like life can really be. Yeah. And I was nervous because obviously you get the pushback, like you're in this amazing family. There should be nothing wrong with you. And that was hard, but I think my purpose in life, I've always had a passion for like mental health and psychology even before I started dealing with my own challenges. But my mom always said, when you find your purpose, you need to go for it and like never lose sight of it. And I feel like my purpose in life is to share my experiences, however uncomfortable it may make other people feel. Yeah. So yeah.
Speaking of your mom, I look at her and I'm like, that's a bad one, right?
She is.
She is. Woo, child.
She is
love
beautiful.
Her.
Yes.
And look, let me tell you, I think, didn't I share this story with you?
What?
How this was like, gosh, in 2000, probably three, I was at a Pittsburgh Georgetown game because my brother-in-law played for Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And this young white dude, he was like, you know, a student at Georgetown or something, was like, are you Steph Curry's mother? And I'm like,
you should be like, yeah,
you know,
she's
I can see it. I can see
so,
it.
I mean, but I was literally like 20 something at that time.
Yeah.
And so in a way, I was like super flattered because your mom is so gorgeous. But then I was like, do I look old enough to be Steph Curry's mother?
No, you
like,
do not.
What the
no.
hell?
My mom literally is like Benjamin Button. We call her Benjamin Button. The older she gets, the younger she looks. Yes. I don't even know how she does that. I just hope that I have that gene as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, listen, that thing right there is a bad one.
That is awesome.
Yes. Now, I'm just going to get right on to it. So when the family goes to dinner at an mm-hmm. expensive restaurant mm-hmm. and your brother Steph is there, I mean, is it just assumed he's paying the bill?
No. So we've always played a game in our family where I always take the bill at the end of
what?
At the end of the day. No. I take the actual. I don't
oh, you,
pay
you,
it.
You grab it.
Okay. I take it. I said, give it to me. Okay. And we'll go around, especially once Seth got into the league and started making some money as well. Whoever's
just
the closest,
a little bit.
In the grand scheme of things. No.
Right.
Between my dad, my brothers, whoever got the closest to the bill didn't have to pay, but whoever was the furthest away had to pay. So we would go around. You have to go around and you make your guess on how much
you have
the
to
bill
guess
would
be. On how much the bill is. Okay.
And yeah, then and you want to get
That's
the closest.
Fun.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, because I'm thinking if he's not there, then we just order one meat. But if he's there, we order like the whole damn menu.
Right.
We order everything on the menu.
We get the tasting menu.
When he's there, you don't hear any lip from my dad. But when my dad, when it's just my dad and he has to pay, you can get what you want, but just know that you're gonna hear a little bit of dang.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay. So. Noted, duly noted.
That is funny. So speaking of your family, tell us what was it like or has it been like growing up, Curry? So growing up, you know, with your dad as a NBA legend. I mean, he played for 16 years. Like
yes.
That is amazing. 16 years? Is that like a record?
Time.
Is that a record?
No,
I think Vince Carter played 20, right?
Yeah. Oh, Vince Carter. No, but what about LeBron right now is about to bust a record. How long
is he?
LeBron is about almost 40.
He's at 14.
He's 14. Okay. Okay.
No,
that's
no, let's
up
see.
There.
2003. He was in the year after Juan was drafted. Did he and Melo go in at the same time? I think. I don't know.
He's up there. He's past 15. He's
a long time.
There will be a lot of people passing my dad, but he did play for that for his time, for that time in the league. That was a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And let me tell you, so Juan had like when he was 32, his knees just went bad. I mean, I think they're like arthritic, they're bone on bone, and he just couldn't play anymore. So for these guys to be able to continue to play and, you know, that pounding every day, like people don't realize that, yeah, it's not football, but like that pounding on that court, that hard floor every day, like that is, that's major. So for anyone that is playing longer than seven years
on the body.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, they said what, Tom Brady is vegan. Like, maybe there's something behind that.
Tom Brady is taking doing something else. Okay. He's fine. Giselle got him on a regimen.
He got
okay?
that special, the special plan.
Yes. He's popping something. But back to your family.
Yeah.
You know, your father played in the league for a long time. Your brother, we all, you know, both of your brothers are super successful, but Steph is one of the best players in the league. I mean, my father, like, when Steph was hurt last year, he was like, wanted to cry because he's like,
I ain't watching.
Yeah.
Something to do.
Yeah. And Steph has like changed the game totally.
It's been cool to watch. Yeah.
So what was it like being, you know, just the daughter in the family? Oh, and then you have
the daughter and the sister.
A super uber successful sister-in-law. So what is it?
We're going to get to Aisha in a minute. Save Aisha. We'll get to her in a minute.
And you have a husband that plays in the NBA. So what is it like for you as, you know, do you just feel like I'm just Adele, or do you feel
do you get lost in it?
No, my parents did a really, really good job at giving us a normal lifestyle.
That's awesome.
Obviously, growing up as a daughter, there wasn't social media. There wasn't like a lot of, you know, the stuff that they have now to make people even more famous, quote unquote. Yeah. So I never really felt different growing up as a daughter of someone of a guy in the NBA. But when Stefan went to had that big breakout at Davidson, I started noticing like people were starting to treat me different, and that made me a little bit uncomfortable. I never really liked attention. I'm a very independent person. I don't like it that much. And so when I went to college and people would be like, oh, you can come into this party because you're Steph Curry's sister, I'd be a little mad, like, no. I don't want to come to your party anymore.
Or like, stop telling people that, you know, like, you don't even want people to know that you're Steph Curry's sister.
Exactly. But you know what? More than anything, like, it's been a really, really cool experience because I don't like the attention, but I love watching the people in my life like elevate and like just break records and do things that people never thought that they would be able to do things that I never thought that they would be able to do or could do.
Awesome.
And I'm shocked all the time. But I feel like I live I always say I'm an ordinary girl who lives an extraordinary or who experiences extraordinary things.
Yeah, I like that.
And I just feel really blessed because, again, I could go to the store or I could just do normal things and not feel like I'm anything special, quote unquote, and just live a normal life, which would be a lot for me. Like with my mental health and all that kinds of stuff, like if I had the same kind of fame as Steph, and I think God really did his thing and gave the correct talents to one of us, because I would not be able to handle all of the spotlight, all of the attention that he gets. He just does so well with it. Even my dad and Seth and Damian do really well with that. I'd probably never leave my house if I had all that attention. So I'm like the biggest cheerleader. I love just witnessing all of this.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Now, I was on the Instagram and I saw how Steph and Aisha responded to you being pregnant, right? And they went freaking bonkers, and I didn't get it. Like, I just was like, why are they screaming and yelling and going crazy? Like, okay, the sister's pregnant. Okay. I did not know your story. So I would love for you to share a little bit of your story. But before you share your story, because, you know, I know you're married to your husband who's also on the same team as your brother. Now, how did that go down?
Not planned.
Okay, that was your question. Because I want to know, like, did you see him and you was like, you said to your brother, can you hook a sister up?
No.
Okay, tell us what happened. Right.
I want to note it. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Because, I would think your brother would be like, there's no way you're dating an NBA player. Like, hell no.
Right.
I'm not having it. Find someone else. Find a banker.
a doctor.
I didn't
want
it.
Yeah.
I did not want it. I always said growing up, I would never date or marry a basketball player, NBA player, because
I don't blame you, girl.
I know how they are. Yes. And I know that like the guys in my family are top notch and they're like, we call them unicorns. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that that was possible. But when I met my husband way before he was even in the league. Cause we went to, I went to Elon, he went to Drexel so they're in the same conference. So he was playing basketball in Drexel. But like, I didn't know if he was any good. I didn't know anything. Like he even transferred to Louisville and like hit me in my DMs And I was like, who are you? Like, what do you do? Like, whatever. Right. Okay. And so we met and started dating.
He hit you up because you were Steph Curry's sister.
Mm-hmm. See, he was clout chasing. He always tells me that he wasn't like pawning for me. I'm like,
Dude, yes, he knew what he was doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was trying to be, you know, into Curry's. He was trying to get into the Curry's. Okay, I we understand.
I mean, he succeeded. If that's what his plan was.
Yeah.
Hey. Now, but, how does your brother feel about it? I mean, I'm sure he's over it now. I mean, you guys are, you know, have baby on the way.
They're best friends. Like, their relationship is kind of sickening, to be honest. That's good. You're a little too close.
Okay. And then, you know what? I mean, look, he better stay on Steph's team because Steph can keep an eye on him.
Yes. Yes. When they try. Right.
I mean, it's definitely a lot easier for me.
Worry about.
It's a lot easier for me.
But yeah, Steph's going to be like, excuse me, who is this woman you're talking to here?
Yes. Yes.
You know what's kind of annoying, though, about him being on the team is that everyone thinks that Stephen literally called up the GM of the Warriors was like, hey, this is my brother-in-law. But Damian was on the team before we were even engaged. We were just dating. And the whole nepotism thing. And then I'm just like, do y'all not know how the NBA works? Because they're not going to give away just money to somebody because of who they're related to. Like, they have to actually be able to contribute something.
True. Well, I don't know. Your brother's married to Doc Rivers' daughter.
I know. This is all very incestual.
Your brother, Seth.
Yes, I realize that. How the hell did he end up on the same team? I don't know. But... it is what it is.
No, I love it. Keep it in the family. Yeah. You know, like, good people when you know them. And so I feel like, hey, if we already know the Currys are great people. So if the Currys approve of, you know, the Damian, then like he has to be an amazing person. And within the NBA, it's not just about your talent. It is almost equally about how good of a person are you? How reliable are you? How, you
100%.
Know, yeah. I mean, more and more these days, like, it's more important to have people of character in your organization than just people with talent. So,
right. Okay. So share with us your, by the way, congratulations. You're getting ready to give birth. Okay. So when is your due date? You. Can you share that? Or
I'm due November 18th. I'm 35 weeks today. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So because I'll give you my brief. Because it's so weird. My kids asked me this morning. They were like, Mom, did you have any trouble getting pregnant? And I was like, first of all, why are y'all even thinking about that? Second of all,
I was at that age.
and I did. So my first child, Grace, you know, it took me like 6 months or so. There was nothing that the doctors felt like they needed to do. Mm-hmm. If it had gone longer, then of course we would have done some different things. But, you know, it just took about 6 months. The twins was like that, you know, boom, pregnant.
Was that a mistake?
That's what the twins asked me.
Were they whoopsies?
They were like, oh my gosh, were we mistakes? And I'm like, first of all, you're
not a mistake,
15.
But like a whoopsie.
No, it was not. It was definitely planned. So they asked,
like,
were
that
we planned?
Soon? Because they're not even, they are, Grace and the twins are how many?
They're 18 months apart.
18 months
so
apart.
So I wanted them to be.
So you wanted to torture yourself?
Well, no, I thought it was going to be one more, but it was two more.
It was two, yeah.
And I wanted the one more and Grace to be, grow up together and do stuff together.
Got it.
But it was two more. Mm-hmm. So yes, then I was tortured. But anyway, enough about me. To give us like your story, because that's every woman who's been pregnant, they have a story.
Oh yeah, yes. For sure. Mm-hmm,
for sure. So Damian and I got married in 2018, and like June of 2018, we were like, let's kind of wait a year before we start trying to have a baby. So I got on birth control, and then we got married, and then December of 2018 came around, and we were like, we spent enough time together, like let's start trying to have a baby.
Let's get it on.
Yeah. And so we have been
Free
trying
Willie
for about
style.
6 months. Pretty much.
Yeah.
We have been trying for about 6 months. Nothing happened. Went to my doctor. She was like, oh, you're young. Just like keep trying. And then if a year comes by and nothing happens, then come back and we'll do some tests. I got pregnant in September of 2019, but it ended up being a chemical pregnancy, which really, really sucked. So
I don't
basically
know what that is.
What's a chemical that? Pregnancy, it's like a early miscarriage. I tested positive, and then because I was trying to get pregnant, I would test every day, and the positive would just get lighter and lighter and lighter until it went away. So
it's like a early false. Is that a false positive?
I don't know.
No, yeah. No, the baby implants, but it doesn't stick long enough.
Oh, okay.
Oh wow,
gotcha.
Be viable. So went back to my doctor 6 months later. We got tests done. 2 weeks into, or a week into quarantine, when the lockdown happened, 2020, uh-huh. we got the call that we couldn't have kids naturally, or we had like a really, really low chance of having kids naturally.
Why?
Issues with both of us, kind of.
Get okay. out. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Which people were shocked because like we're so young. I was 20,
yes. yeah.
25 at that time, and he was only 27. So, oh, wow.
So was the miscarriage related to the reasons why you can't, why they said you couldn't get pregnant?
My miscarriage has happened because I have a progesterone level or progesterone level issue after implantation. Mm. So my progesterone levels didn't stay high enough.
Okay. Okay.
And so we went into like right into fertility treatments. We tried 3 months of IUIs, which is intrauterine insemination, mm-hmm. which basically is a step up from natural. They'll put me on medications and create more eggs, and then they'll mm-hmm. insert his, like they call it the good swimmers mm-hmm. through a okay. catheter. And we tried those for 3 months, didn't work. Mm-hmm. Took a month off of October of 2020, and then we went into IVF in 2021.
Okay. And that's like pretty rigorous, right? Like you have to get shots and all that.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I did 2 weeks of 3 injections a day in my stomach. Oh, and honestly though, like this is kind of like full circle right now, because it was this time last year is when I started watching Real Housewives of Potomac. So you guys,
yes!
I took a whole month off. No, seriously, I took a whole month off of November to do my IVF, and just would sit down every day with my husband, my mother-in-law, and we would watch Real Housewives of Potomac every day. We watched Listen. All seasons every
oh,
day.
You, oh, you binge from you season
binge.
One?
We watched the whole season. Like,
if we
series.
Could help you get pregnant, Fidel, that's what we were going to do.
You
job.
Did.
We
did our job. You did. So thank you. And it's like this literally
that's
a year
so
ago.
Cute.
So anyways, we did our IVF cycle. We got a good amount of embryos, uh-huh. which is as far as they can be developed outside of my body. Went through our first embryo transfer in February of 2021. That didn't work. It just was a really devastating time. So oh, then we gosh. Went into my next embryo transfer, which I had asked my doctor, like, can I go on some progesterone? Because I felt like I think I had another chemical pregnancy in the first embryo transfer. So that's kind okay. of where I found
okay.
out.
Okay.
Went on progesterone for the second one. And this one stuck. And we are 35 weeks pregnant with our first baby boy.
Oh, it's a boy. Oh, yeah, Lord. It is a boy. Out with dribbling basketballs.
I know.
Jesus Christ. We're the girls.
Just we have girls. We have 3 girls already. We have three
That's
girls.
True. That's true. Oh,
That's yeah. 3 girls yeah. And one boy.
And one boy. Yes. Okay. So now I get it. Now I get why your brother and your sister-in-law were super excited that you are preggers. And
yeah.
so, like... Your husband, I know he was just like through the roof over
the He morning. Was so excited. I actually got to surprise him too with this pregnancy, because when you go through this and there's doctors and timelines involved, like, you yeah. know, every single timeline, I got to go to the doctor at this day, this time. So I had actually tested and found out earlier than expected that I was pregnant. And so they were in the middle of season last year, and he was away for a road trip when I had found out that I was pregnant. So I got nice. To surprise him when he came home. He had no idea that I was pregnant, because we had a week to go until I went to the doctor for my blood test to see if it had worked. Okay. And that was just like one of the best moments of my life, because, you know, I really wanted this to be as normal of an experience as possible. Oh. And it hasn't been that normal, because no. all the doctors and all my legs and wow. stirrups and all kinds of stuff.
Oh my gosh.
It was great. It was great.
How are you able to even keep that from him? Like,
right?
waiting for him to
him
come
for
back.
2 days. And it
oh
was
my
the
gosh.
Hardest thing ever. He was like, am I the last one to know? Did you tell everyone except for me? I'm like, no. I only
oh,
told
yes, you
like,
did. You told your mom.
4 people. I told my mom
right. oh, yeah.
and my sister-in-law.
yeah. Okay. Speaking of sister-in-law, let's get back to this dinner that y'all play Russian roulette with the bill. So Aisha.
yes.
First of
love
all,
her.
Does she let you cook with her? Because she's got this, you know, all this cooking situations going on.
I
books
mean,
and
is her food really good?
Yeah. That's I was getting there. It's in there. It's
I would not good. Lie to y'all.
We're not done with the questions yet. Hold on. Hold tight. Okay.
Right,
A, is the food
I'm
good? B, when y'all have moments at the because, you know, any family will have some tense moments at the table. Okay. 9 times out of 10, she starts it, right? She starts the drama.
She's a jokester. She tries to bring
But does everyone understand her jokes? Okay, are the jokes really not funny?
No, they're funny, but she has a different type of humor, and you really have to understand her to really like think it's funny. Sometimes I look at her like, I
that
guess we'll laugh, but like, but you laugh at her because she thinks she's hilarious, and she is. Her and Stefan just feed off of each other,
which
is really cool. So that's funny to watch. Even if you don't get the joke, you know that they're in their own little world. And, okay, good for them.
Right.
But no, she, food's bomb. She,
the
if
food
you ask,
is bomb.
Food
really?
Is, have y'all been to any of her restaurants?
She has a restaurant?
Yeah.
Really?
She's got like three or four.
Where have I been?
Under a rock. There aren't any like over here. They're more like, West Coast and in Texas or something.
She has one in Miami. She has one in MGM in Vegas.
Okay,
and
in Miami.
Here.
Wait a minute. What's the one called in Miami? Because I'm about to go back down there.
They're all called International Smoke.
Because she has barbecue.
It's barbecue from all around the world, though. But so they have everything there.
Okay.
The mac and cheese.
I'm writing that down.
A tri-tip mac and cheese.
Okay.
I didn't know there was one in Miami, but okay.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Okay, so Miami, Vegas. Where else?
And San Francisco. There was one in Houston, but Houston,
they don't like the Warriors.
They started yelping her like before the restaurant even opened. They started negative yelping her.
Let me tell you something about these fans out
That's
here.
Ridiculous.
They're the worst.
Ooh, that
it's
is
not
ridiculous.
That deep, but y'all must know some food, so go ahead.
That is ridiculous. Now, how is your relationship with your sister-in-law? You all, from what I can tell, you all appear to be really, really close.
Yeah, no, I'm super blessed. I was always really hard on all my brother's girlfriends.
As you should be. Because, you know, they're hoes out here in these streets.
Exactly.
Gold diggers,
and I ran a few of them off.
Good.
Actually,
very good.
The ones
they needed
that didn't
to be
stick. Run. They ran them off.
Yeah. And but it's a lot, women, and it's a lot to live up to because their mother is a bad one. And so if like the girlfriend or the scallywag or the hoe on the side can't live up to the mama, it's a problem.
They got
to
go.
Yeah.
No. But with Aisha, like I was mean to her for about 2 weeks.
Okay. Good.
And I couldn't be mean to her anymore. I was like, I can't not like you. And we became like that. I was her maid of honor in their wedding.
Oh, wow.
It was a huge thing. So, yeah.
Oh, that's special.
I couldn't be blessed with both my sister-in-laws are amazing. They're sisters I always wanted. They fit perfectly in the fam.
That's nice. If you all like have Thanksgiving dinner, I wouldn't mind being invited one day.
or if y'all are going out.
I think I could just like fit in. Y'all would be like, there's Cousin Robin.
Everyone does.
Or if y'all are going to a restaurant, because I just want to go and order the whole menu because I know I'm not paying. So I'm just going to order. Okay, bring me the lobster and the shrimp.
I don't know.
And the clams.
You might have to. You might have to guess on the bill there, Giselle.
No.
She makes money too.
I'm not in their league.
You're gonna be stuck with the bill.
Anyone
I'm not in their league.
Money.
Let's get into your Instagram because it is the pictures, the way it's laid out, like everything about it. It's like clearly, I look at it and I'm like, okay, what professional is doing this. It's amazing. So talk to us about like why you, there's like a style to it.
Is there? I mean, I don't try to fit any kind of style. I think that I just try to be myself and I get sometimes imposter syndrome. Like I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough. Cause then I go look at other people's pages and I'm like, wow, that's so aesthetically pleasing. Every filter is perfect with the other.
Right.
But that's just not me. Like if I spend hours editing a photo or thinking about, you know, what I'm going to post, like it doesn't feel genuine and authentic. And I want everything that I do to feel genuine and authentic because that's how I've gotten to this point. And it's much harder to be someone else than it is just to be me. And I don't have time. Like I don't have time. It's exhausting. So, but thank you. I appreciate that. I want people to look at my Instagram and know that that's me. And there's nothing fake about it. There's nothing, you know, highlight really, like, I like to show all the good and the bad of my life because it's normal.
I think you do an awesome job.
No,
it is definitely aesthetically pleasing, but without being, you know, it does not look fake or forced. So in the content creator world, that's really, it's people don't really realize how hard it is actually to put out good content, aesthetically pleasing content.
Yes.
So, you know, kudos to you for doing a great job. You're welcome.
Thank you. Yes. Now, are you going to, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, do you have one? I want to get into this topic.
Okay. Are you going to, you know, after your son is born, by the way, do we have a name? Is it an S name?
Do you know it's a D name?
It's a D name. Okay. Yes. So y'all are going to have an empire of D's. Like, it's
yes,
just,
they are.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Are you going to show a bunch of pictures of him? Like, how do you feel about social media and your child? Because it's a little tricky.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen both sides of that. Stefan and Aisha, they show their kids a lot. Seth and Callie don't show theirs that much. Just the back of their head.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he had a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've seen both sides. Honestly, when my baby's first born, I'm going to really determine on if he's cute or not, because the last thing
Robin.
Last thing I want is for him to be 18, 20 years old and be like, Ma, why is this picture online of me looking all like, I don't want that. I'm not trying to have this problem. Yes. But
don't feel rushed to put out a picture of your child if he looks like an alien.
Okay. I'm not. You're going to see his hand, his little foot, maybe his hair if he has them.
Wait until he fills out a little bit.
Yes.
I mean, my son Carter that was talking to you earlier, he was, I don't like to use the word ugly.
You have called him alien-ish.
Yes, he was so not cute, and look at him now.
He's
so
a cutie pie.
There's so nothing cute. Wrong with waiting.
There's time. Yes. Yeah, but like I got a DM one time from this woman who was like yelling at me because I didn't show pictures of my nieces and nephews. She's like, "All you have are pictures of your dogs." And I'm like, okay, well, first of all,
that's not your responsibility.
I like my dogs, but right? Well, ma'am, I definitely don't feel comfortable showing pictures of my nieces and nephews because, like, there's people like you who are incessant on the fact that I post them, and what are you going to do with them, and why do you need them so badly, and their parents post pictures of them, so why do you? And so that to me, like, really was a red flag about, you know, the craziness of people. But I don't want people to dictate, you know, what I do or don't do, so it's really game time decision on little baby boy. But
all right. Yeah, he's gonna be cute. Stop it!
It's gonna be adorable.
I mean, stop it. Also, 6 months from now, we'll definitely be cute,
and he's gonna be Gucci down to the socks. I already know.
Listen, I got them. I got them hand-me-downs from Stefan and Aisha.
There we go. Listen, there we go.
There we go.
Because you know they only wear it one time and they grow out of it. It's over. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I got a whole bag of Gucci hand-me-downs, so we're good.
Must be nice. All right. Well, before we let you go, let's talk a little bit more about mental health, specifically seasonal depression. Because I'll be honest, the other day it was like 2 p.m. It was gloomy outside and I was on my couch and I just felt this like heaviness over me. And I was like, oh, my God, it's starting already. So, you know, do you have any advice or remedies or just, you know, any words of wisdom that you can give to people who maybe around this time of year are starting to feel different and they don't really know why?
Right.
Definitely. It's a normal thing. A lot of people who don't experience depression during the other seasonal months of the year experience it during this time. So know that you're not alone. One thing for sure, especially for us Black people, we need to be vitamin D is huge because we get vitamin D from the sun and vitamin D deficiency. So get a vitamin D supplement. Make sure you're taking that because it will not only help you mentally, but also physically. It gives your energy back up and stuff like that.
Why is that like not a universal thing? Why is that like geared towards Black people?
We're just known to have low vitamin D deficiency. I'm sure white people can get it as well during this time, but especially Black people.
Okay, got it. And I didn't know that was a thing. Okay, so that's good to know. Vitamin D, for sure.
It can be very isolating too, because it's cold outside, it gets dark faster, you don't really want to go anywhere, but make an effort to, if you feel safe, obviously we're still living in COVID times, see people, go get drinks with people, go hang out, just walk around something with someone other than yourself. Cause that's going to be really good to get you out of that mood. For me, it's not, I mean, it kind of might not be too late. I have a summer scent and a winter scent. So if I'm feeling like a perfume, if I'm feeling really down,
I'm
feeling really down or really like just depressed or whatever, I'll spray my summer scent, and that scent, use your senses during this time, eyes, ears, I mouth, like eat some watermelon. I don't know, something that, you know, can bring you to a summery.
Yes.
That's my craving right now.
Watermelon. Oh yeah. I was going to ask you that, cause I was going to tell you mine, child. My pregnancy cravings were ridiculous, but I love that. So spray something that's going to remind you of like the summertime and happy and sunshine and all that. I love that.
So throw the pumpkin spice in the trash.
Well, but I love me a little pumpkin spice pumpkin lotion. Spice.
Yeah, I love a little pumpkin spice. But don't be afraid to make a pina colada either during, it might be Christmas, but a pina colada would be real good.
I like that.
That is good. But a lot of people talk about in the wintertime, it's like cuffing season. It's like when you got to make sure you got a boo. But now that you kind of like broke it down, like make sure you're engaging, make sure you're going out, going to have drinks, whatever. That makes sense. Like, I couldn't understand cuffing season, but I understand it now.
Yeah.
Because you do need somebody, or you should have somebody that you can just kind of like cuddle up with.
Yeah.
You know, hang out with, whatever. Go to the movies with, whatever.
And my thing is, you know, I don't like to leave the house, right?
Yeah.
And I think half the battle is like putting on clothes and makeup and doing my hair.
It's hard. So it's like, hard. Self-care it's easy to talk about, but it's hard to get going, but you always feel better afterwards. Like, it's like working out. Like, it's really hard to start working out, but as soon as you're done, you're like, I mean, I'm tired, but I'm so happy I did that.
Right.
So just think about the reward at the end of getting started. Then also, like, my last advice with the seasonal depression is know that this is a season. Like, there will be an end. The sun will come out again. The days will be longer. It'll be lighter outside longer again. So it's just as time span, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And so it's not going to be like this forever.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
No, I mean, I love that. It's so funny. So the other day I was talking to Juan and I was like, I'm starting to feel it. And he was like, I'm like, do you feel the same thing? And he was like, no. I said, remember when we lived in Portland, Oregon, and he, you know, it rained every day, literally from like early December until the middle of May. It literally rained like every single day.
Wow.
So I was like, Juan, you remember the feeling when we lived in Portland, like how when it rained every day, it just didn't feel great? And he was like, yeah. I was like, well, that's how I feel, you know, this time of year until probably early February, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, maybe March.
Right.
And he was like, wow. Like, you know, he doesn't feel that at all. And I'm just like, damn, like,
must be nice.
Yes, that must be nice. So I'm like, I got to really make an effort because it does keep me in the house. Like, the cold, the dark, you know, just balling up on the couch, not wanting to get dressed, it becomes debilitating because I do feel like I do miss out on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's
for me to get Robin out the house in the wintertime is a struggle and a push. I got to call her like
miracle.
5 times.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
I relate to that. I relate to that a lot.
And I feel bad because I think people think that I'm being like antisocial, and it's just like, no,
it's a lot of energy.
Yeah. Or like they're taking it personal because I'm not hanging out with them. And I'm like, well, don't take it personal. I'm not hanging out with anyone. Right. Like, oh, God. But yes, I got to make more of an effort because it's.
Yes. Oof. For sure. And then my mom always said, you know, if you are having a bad day, just put on lipstick and it'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
So I like live by that.
Okay.
Yeah. You always have to have your lips popping, even
like
if you
that.
Feel bad.
And so put lipstick on and just look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah. And just say, I'm beautiful. Okay. Like, I'm beautiful. I don't care what you say.
Affirmations.
Positive
talking affirmations will start becoming a real thing.
Yes. I do say, though, one of my advices, like when you're feeling down, is just to like smile and grin. Because when the smile, like the endorphins you get from the smile, like really changes your mood.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
sometimes you just like sit there and just like put on the big cheesiest smile and you can like feel a little bit better, like feel a little endorphin rush.
Yes, for sure. Well, you have been amazing.
Oh,
100% amazing. And we got, you know, you didn't mind us getting all up into the Curry Lee business.
That's all right. I'll tell all the stuff. Nobody else wants to talk. I'll talk.
And if we ever see y'all out, I'm just coming to sit down at the table. They will never know I'm not family.
They won't.
No. Y'all fit right in.
Yes. Me and Robert are coming to the family reunion. Okay. Because I believe it's going to be off the chain.
Always is. It's always a good time. People never want to leave us.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Well, you have been awesome.
Come to drink.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you have anything you want to like promote? Well, what's your Instagram page? Do you have any websites or anything else going on?
Yeah. My Instagram is just my name, Sydell Curry Lee. And then my podcast, Because Life with Sydell, on Instagram and anywhere you listen to your podcast. So.
Yes. Awesome. I'm gonna recommend your Instagram. It is beautiful. Like I just throw pictures up because it's just it's a mess, but it's fine. But yours is absolutely beautiful. And thank you so much. Always remember, never forget, live your life either reasonable or shady. You know what? We weren't even shady with you. We said I was waiting for some shady. I mean, we tried to throw your sister-in-law under the bus, but you wouldn't let us.
I can't. I'm trying to think. There's nothing.
Okay. All right. So this was a very reasonable episode, people, which we probably need some of those every now and again.
We got to balance. It's called balance.
Yes. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
All right, girl. Thank you.
Bye. Reasonably Shady is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
And you can connect with us on social media at Robin Dixon 10, Giselle Bryant, and Reasonably Shady.